Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, help us to focus this morning and put aside the distractions that we may have floating around in our minds and hear your word. Speak to us this day, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The wolf shall lie, but shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. These verses that we find in Isaiah have been a central theme of songs and poems and great master paintings over the centuries. It's often misquoted as to who's with what and all that sort of thing, but the theme remains constant. It's an idyllic picture in that sense about peace and righteousness and justice for all. And as I meditated over that particular segment in particular, I realized that this has become an idyllic image that we have in our culture of what peace is all about. And yet I think that very often we miss the point that's hidden within this. Because what we define as peace in our world today, that's spoken about by so many people, is the absence of war. So the absence of war means peace. But in this particular description that we're getting, there's no mention of the absence of war. We live in a country that is pretty much absent of war. There's no threat at hand as we go out in the day and into the night of bombings coming upon us from an enemy that we've identified, or shootings, or warfare as we may define it in general. So by that simple definition, we live at peace in our country. And yet if we look in the news, in the papers, in the radio, and television, and all the social media sources for news, we can see quite the opposite, that there is still something very unpeaceful about the world in which we live. There's trouble and strife all around us. This week alone, there was that 22-month-old toddler that was slashed with a knife in Hamilton had to be rushed off the hospital. And although that's not warfare, that's also not peace. I think what we need to understand in this idyllic description of what's taking place is the relationships that exist in these particular analogies, if you like, this image that's being painted for us with words. It's supporting really what Paul is trying to emphasize, talking about how we relate to one another in Romans. Something has changed. Peace is not simply the absence of war. Peace is the change in nature between relations that take place. Now, an easy way for us to maybe understand this, maybe what I'm trying to say, is if you have a kitten, and we've all had kittens or cats, or we know of them, those of us who've owned them over the years, or maybe know people that have owned them. A kitten, by nature, if you drag a feather across on a string, reaches out to grab it and bite it. It's just its nature to do that. And I always hate giving examples because somebody will always inevitably come up to me and say, well, I had a cat, never did that. But by nature, most cats do that. They pounce on things. They claw them. They bite them. It's their nature to do that. We know that, generally speaking, if a cat was put out that had been raised in the house and ended up outside, there's a good chance it would find a meal because its nature is built to, again, attack and bite and hunt. It may not survive other predators because it didn't learn that, but by nature it's built in. And we look at these animals that are used in this example in Isaiah, the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the lion and the calf, the cow and the bear. These are animals that are predators and prey by nature. And yet something shifted. There's a peace that has come upon them that by changing the nature of who and what they are. No longer are they in relationship as prey and predator. They're just in a relationship of peace. It's changing their nature. And I think that's a far better definition of what we mean as Christian people by peace. The peace that Jesus brings into this world is that he changes our nature. Now, without meaning to protract the point too much, we believe in our culture, and I spend, as you know, a lot of time reading and watching cultural films and movies and all kinds of things. One of the reasons I do this is to try to understand how these things inform us as people within our culture. I'm going to use the example of The Wizard of Oz to start. In the classic story, The Wizard of Oz, we have a classic story of good versus evil, evil versus good. In that classic story of The Wizard of Oz, there's the wicked witch trying to, you know, stop the good people in this story from achieving what they need to achieve. And she gets defeated. We know in that classic movie, she melts because water gets spilled on her. That's the end of her. But our culture doesn't want to believe this nature thing. Doesn't want to believe that there is an element that is evil in our world. Because, and we evidence that by the musical that came out not too long ago called Wicked. And Wicked was put out to explain why the Wicked Witch was wicked. Because really, at heart, she was okay. She started out, as we get the backstory in this Wicked musical, she was okay. She was actually a good person. But circumstance created her and made her the way that she was. So we need to understand better. And that's a lovely thought. But a cat doesn't pounce and bite because circumstance demands that it do that. A cat pounces and bites because that's part of its nature and who it is, what it is. But a culture today does not want to believe that we've become corroded over time. That we've become corroded from where we were in the Garden of Eden. And that we cannot live in relationship with our God and each other than, as we use that analogy that's in Isaiah, as prey and predator, as enemies. Jesus comes at Christmas. During this Advent time of anticipation, Jesus comes to bring about true peace in the relationships that we have with one another. Jesus comes to change our very nature. It's hard because we really want to believe at core we're good people and we're okay. But the scriptures clearly tell us we've been at war and at odds with God for so long. Because we've been corrupted by sin. We've been corrupted in the nature of who we are. A fundamental understanding of our relationship with our God. And Jesus changes our nature. To be a Jesus follower, to be a Christian, means that we are changing our nature by his power in our lives. That's why we spend every Sunday in prayer for repentance, forgiveness of sins, and moving forward. Because we're changing our nature. We're not there yet. That scripture in Isaiah tells us where we will be one day. Our nature will be completely shifted to be that of God. The symbol that we have at the back on our banner for peace this particular Sunday that Janine put together years ago is that dove carrying the olive branch. The story of Noah is a story of warfare. The story of Noah is a story where God was at war with humankind. And when Noah sends the dove out and it returns with the olive branch, it means that the waters had begun to recede and there were olive trees not that far away. The war was over. And we've used that symbol since to represent peace. The rainbow in the sky is a bow, an archer's bow that God is putting down, the symbol that he will never be at war again, that his peace will reign. But it's more than just the absence of war. It's the change in nature of us in our relationship with our God. And as we are encouraged in the letter to Romans, we need to change our relationship and how we relate to one another. In closing, as we prepare in Advent, we need to be considering, what is our fallback? What is the thing that we immediately do when we're in relation with one another? Years ago at a youth group meeting, when I was in a much better frame of mind in general, the youth group leader asked me to pretend I was on a subway. So I stood sort of, we were in a sanctuary, so I stood here and pretended I was on a subway. And he came up behind me and pushed me. Now I was in better frame in those days, so I just kind of, ultimately I spoiled his object lesson because he wanted me to react like I probably would now. In that sense, like what we tend to do when somebody was too close or somebody said something, we tend to react. And he was trying to make a point. The point is that our nature needs to shift from our normal reaction to a situation to that of Christ. And to be thinking actively as we live in this moment, what is it to be at peace with one another? So over Advent, as we are thinking and preparing, think about those moments when you're in relationship with other people in your lives, whether it's here in church or at home, with families, that it's always difficult because families know where to push that right button on you. Instead of the automatic reaction, that by nature reaction, think of the nature of Christ. That's that clothing ourselves of Christ, and how should we be responding? In peace and love, in peace in particular, more than the absence of warfare, the change in our nature. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that peace is what we're focusing on this particular Sunday and preparing the way of peace in our lives. So Lord, help us all to be more conscious of when we're not acting in a peaceful way, and so that we can prepare our hearts always in every situation to respond in a changed nature, which is what peace truly is. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now as recipients of the abundant life in Christ, we now offer our gifts and tithes to God.